1 Samuel chapter 17. God had said to Saul, "You can no longer be king. I have sought for a man after my own heart. After my own heart, I will make him commander over my people." 1 Samuel chapter 17, that man after God's own heart is revealed to the nation. Verse 27, "And David said, 'What have I done now? Is there not a cause?' Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. And when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and Saul sent for David. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him,'" that is Goliath. "'Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God.' Moreover," David said, "'the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'Go, and the Lord be with you.'" Verse 43. "So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, 'Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.' Then David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.'" May God take this insight into the heart of a man after God's own heart and use it in our lives today. God has great plans. He truly is a great and gracious God. But God decided, for reasons that he's not revealed to us, that he would work through people, that he would limit the blessings that others would receive. He would limit those blessings to those which he could communicate and channel through chosen vessels. All through the scripture, God is on a manhunt, looking for a few faithful men and women. And when God finds those men and women whose hearts are tuned to his, incredible things happen to the benefit of God's people. What does it mean to have a heart after God? Several weeks ago, a dear gentleman from our church came out to our house and tuned our piano. He went over and he blocked out all the other strings except this one. That's A. Immobilizing all the other strings, he then took what's called a tuning fork, struck it, and touched the piano. And when that string attached to that key vibrated in harmony, resonating with the vibrations of that tuning fork, he knew he had it. Beginning there, he could then tune the whole piano, the whole instrument, so it was in harmony with itself and with any other instrument in the world that was appropriately tuned. God's heart is like the tuning fork. It is always constant, always true, never changing, never deviating. And what God is looking for are hearts, yours and mine, that resonate, that vibrate, that catch the tune of the heavenly ideal and choose to become full of that same spirit you find in God himself. God looked for and found a man like that. His name is David. And in chapters 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 in 1 Samuel, God gives us a glimpse into the characteristics of a person. It can be male or female. When I use the word man, I'm not using it in the sense of sex. I'm using it in the sense of mankind. Every time God finds a mankind whose heart is tuned to his heart, God is pleased to use them to do spectacular, wonderful things of blessing. Looking through these chapters, I found quite a few characteristics that mark the heart of a man whose heart is in tune with God. Let me share with you a couple this morning and encourage you to make your own list. In chapter 16, the first thing we are struck as a characteristic of a heart that's in tune with God is its servant spirit. David took to service like a fish takes to water. We're introduced to him while he's serving back on the corner of the wilderness. The whole family's invited to a party, an important party. David is not included. There's no rebellion, no discontent, no carping when David appears on the scene. He accepted the fact that service is always better than celebration. And he served with a willing spirit. First, he served the sheep who were dependent upon him. Then he is called to serve Saul, who is dependent upon him. You see that in verse 14, 1 Samuel chapter 16. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a depressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. Saul's servants say, "Sir, what you need is someone who's skilled in playing the harp." And when this depressing spirit from the Lord comes upon you, they can play on the harp, and that music will delight and soothe your soul. David is recommended. He becomes part of the furniture of the court, becomes one who was accepted into the very private presence of King Saul himself. And when this distressing spirit, verse 23, so it was whenever the spirit from God was upon Saul that David would take a harp and play with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. First characteristic of a man, a woman whose heart pleases God, is a servant spirit. Willing to serve, taking delight in service, finding joy in helping those who need or who depend upon you. Granted, that's not the characteristic of Rambo, but it's the characteristic of a man, a woman who pleases the Lord. God became our servant, and the greatest model we have of servanthood is in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He who was in the form of God did not consider it at all peculiar, unusual, or a strain on his reputation to empty himself, became made in the fashion of a man. As a man, he humbled himself, served those around him. As the song said, how beautiful the hands, the feet of the body of Christ. As God incarnate, God in flesh became our servant and ultimately did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Went to the place of death. Died on the cross, serving us as our substitute. Laying down his righteousness, his holiness, his guiltlessness. Taking the robe of our sin, our filth, our guilt, taking our place upon the cross as our servant, dying in our place. God loves to serve. And he takes delight in those who have servant hearts. The second characteristic of the one whose heart is in tune with God is found in chapter 17 and verse 29. David was sent by his father over to visit his three older brothers who were fighting in Saul's army. What a great characteristic. David learned to obey his parents. That's where it all starts. In the Ten Commandments that God gave at Mount Sinai, the first of the six that had to do with my relationships with men and women, the first of the six having to do with my human conduct is honor, obey your parents. Till you learn that lesson, friend, you'll never be fit for the service of the king. Until you know how to humble your own passions, respect your own parents, and reverence the place God has given your folks, you will never honor God, and you will never amount to the significant person God created you to be. That's the first law. David obviously learned that early. On the errand, he takes some food over to where his brothers are fighting in Saul's army, and there he watches as Goliath comes roaring out of the camp of the Philistines. 40 days and 40 nights, this guy, what a guy he was, almost 10 foot tall. He had intimidated the armies of Saul, challenging them to select a person, send that champion out to meet him, and whoever won that two-man battle, the armies would forfeit to the winner of that conflict. David listened to this Philistine. He was stirred. Others were focused on the reward that King Saul said he would give to anyone courageous enough to face Goliath. David was not focused on the reward. David was focused on the reproach. See it there in verse 29? His brother had chastised him, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Look at the issue, David said. Look what's involved here. Look beneath the surface. A man who seeks to serve God, whose heart belongs to God, is one who lives his life, her life, based upon principles, not upon appearances. Rewards have no impact upon a person who's inwardly principle-driven. David was driven by inner principles, not external rewards. Remember, what the king can give, the king can also take. David knew that. Though he was but a youth, he had learned already that there is one giver, one God, and he is not like man, he is trustworthy. You know, of course, that the daughter who was promised to the one who would fight Goliath didn't become David's wife. And you know that as the history unfolded, instead of David's family being exempted from taxation because of David's heroic victory, David had to take his family over to a foreign country, to Moab, and have them live there. David did not live his life for popular applause. He was focused on a different cause. His cause was the reputation program of God. Second characteristic of a man who is after God's own heart, he is driven by causes, not convenience. He's living his life out of principles of truth, not the pleasure and popularity and applause of men around him. In this marvelous expose of David's heart, we learn some other things about David. He goes in before King Saul, and King Saul wants him to go out and face Goliath. But Goliath is a man of war. We learn the third thing about a man whose heart is in tune with God from David. David says, "Sir, I've already discovered God's resources for my life." A great opportunity is wasted if you're not prepared. The platform, with all of its public aura, is a dangerous place if you have not prepared your heart in private before God. David had learned that God is as interested in the lamb as he is the land. God is interested in the sheep as much as he is anything else in his whole universe. Put it another way, David didn't focus his Christian action on Sunday morning for an hour. David focused his whole life on pleasing God, even back there in the wilderness where no one else was around, where no one else saw and no one else knew. In the quiet, private corners of his life, the man, the woman who has a heart for God is seeking to honor God. And he's learning lessons there, back with the sheep, that prepare him when the nation faces a crisis. And that's what happened to David. The crisis of the nation didn't make David a great man. It just revealed the man David already had become. David tells Goliath about a bear and a lion and how God had proven himself faithful in the wilderness. And David drew the correct parallel. The Lord, he says, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. What are you learning in your workaday world? How are you testing the promises of God out there? It's easy to stand here with the floodlights on and the cameras functioning and the PA system working and everybody sitting there quietly listening. It's easy to stand here and be perceived to be an important person. This is not where it counts. If you want to know my heart, you need to be with me tomorrow morning at 10:05. You need to be with me tonight at 10 o'clock when it's just Tricene and me. You need to be there Wednesday morning when we're trying to make the month's pay reach over the month's expenses. You need to see me in a t-shirt when discouraging news comes to the telephone. See, that's where the man is measured, not up here. David knew that. David knew that the man of God is the same in the wilderness as he is standing before the armies. And the same God who is faithful there in the wilderness will be faithful in the public arena. God creates character in private. Crisis simply reveals that character to a larger audience. fascinated by David's perception of what was going on here. David said, "This uncircumcised Philistine has dared to defy the armies of the living God." And you read when the Philistine Goliath approached David, we read the Philistine cursed David by his gods. At issue in the valley here, where these two battles are enjoined, is not one human race against another human race. It's not Israelis versus Philistines. It's God versus the gods of the Philistines. The question is not, is Goliath big? The question is God true? David saw that. A man after God's own heart looks through God's glasses and sees the larger issue of the minor moment. Sees that God's honor, God's word, God's program, God's character is being tested by false gods who are no gods at all. And since they are no gods, they have to put on all this pretense. They need to hire the 10-foot-high giant to make it seem that they are stronger. David knew better. David saw through the smoke and mirrors. He cut through all of that and saw the issue was an issue of God's character, God's reputation. So he takes on Goliath. Listen to his purpose. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give it. He will give you, Goliath, into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. God, though unseen, is all powerful. And every circumstance surrounding you in your life is under his control. That's why one committed to God will chase 1,000. Two yoked to serve God will put 10,000 to flight. Because the battle is the Lord's. David trusted his experience, laid aside the armor that Saul offered him, took the sling, and went out to meet Goliath. He had tested the sling. He went with what he had proven. That's the characteristic of a man whose heart is in tune with God. He builds upon what he knows, what he has experienced. He takes what God has proven to him and uses that as his basis of ministry and service. Just one more thing. As a result of this great victory God gave David over Goliath, David was immediately elevated into the king's presence. No more would David go back to serve the sheep. David would now be Saul's armor bearer. In chapter 18, three times the writer underscores this quality. Here it is. The man whose heart is committed to God, the woman who is a man after God's own heart, can be trusted to act wisely and responsibly. You see it here in chapter 18, verse 5. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Why? Because they knew that since David was committed to God, you could trust David. Like Joseph and like Daniel before him. When a man's heart is right with God, you can trust him. Young lady, if you're looking for a man to marry, find a man who's committed to God. Then you can trust him. If he's not committed to God, he's not going to be committed to you. Young man, you're looking for a woman with whom to spend the rest of your life. Find a woman whose heart is committed to God, who is submitted to His control in her life. If she is respectful and obedient to God, you will find a consistency there that makes her capable of your trust. That's what's true with David. David behaved wisely. Look over in verse 14. And David behaved wisely in all of his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. And all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Look at verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war, and so it was, wherever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. A man who is after God's own heart can act wisely because he has access to wisdom. He can be trusted because he is not dependent upon your praise. He will be consistent because he is seeking to honor God. He will be courageous as David was, twice escaping the javelin thrown at him by Saul, returning to work in spite of that. That takes great courage. But you can be courageous when you know that your heart is right before God, when you're seeking to behave wisely, when you're seeking to behave in a manner that honors God. The scripture says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Servant's heart, committed to a cause, experiencing God's resources in the workaday world, seeing the issue from God's point of view, trustworthy in all that you do. God is looking for men, for women like that. And when God cultivates that kind of heart, and when that person with those characteristics is willing to obey the Lord, put it all on the line, trust God, God does wonderful things. As we continue to study the life of David over the next several weeks, you'll see how God used this man to bring great blessing to many, many people.